Well, glad you're here tonight, and we'll be in the 16th Psalm. This is one of my favorite Psalms. I love some of the truths in here, and I hope you'll like it better, know it better when we're done here tonight. Psalm chapter 16. I'm familiar with a man by the name of Walter Wilson, and he was lived back in the 1800s, 19, or maybe mostly 1900s, and somewhere there close to those years, World War One and all that. And he preached on this psalm, and he called it the Sweet Pea Psalm, Sweet Pea Psalm. And that's always stuck for me. I wrote that there in my Bible, and he just went through every, there's a lot of words in this psalm that are major that start with the letter P. And I'm going to bring out some of them, but the more I looked at this psalm, the more it just all seems to point to the Lord and how great He is, how wonderful He is, amen, what He does for His people. And it's like you can't disconnect the blessings He gives from Himself. And so let's look at this psalm and see, just remembering how good our Lord is to us tonight. Verse 1, He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my God, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Let's pray and then just look at this passage. Dear Lord, we love you. I do pray that you would just put in me your words and that you would speak through me, Holy Spirit, your message. I just pray that you would show us the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and just exalt him before us, that we could see some of his beauty and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's start in verse number 1 and just go down through here. The Lord, David says here, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And we just want to take the thoughts as they come and connect them where they can. We're not going to look at everything here, but he says, "Preserve me, O God." And David looks, he's in, as you study David's life and his connection with different psalms that he wrote, we're not sure when he wrote all of them, but his life wasn't exactly the easiest thing all the time. And he spent many years being chased by Saul. Right. It wasn't a short time in his life. And, you know, he went through, you know, battles. He was daily in danger of some type. He just lived that type of a life. But for one thing, and you see him looking to God here for preserving him. Now, when I think of preserving something, one idea is to keep it, to guard it. You know, we watch out for the things that are real careful. You get a new vehicle, and we were talking about this morning, that you can tell who has a new vehicle driving by the road, down the road. You know, they're driving real slow and all that, trying to be real careful. Or you just have something nice, you want to take good care of it. Maybe it's a real nice gun or a real nice treasure of some type. And we give it extra care. We give it the special attention it needs. We keep it well shined, well polished, you know, give it all those things. And David says, "Lord, I want that kind of attention from you. I need preserved. I need some special attention. I need your watchful hand over me, guiding my affairs of my life. I need that." In the morning, we need preserved. You see, the devil wants us to get all, you know, busy about the day, no time, got to rush out the door. And, you know, we've been busy of late. And, you know, I've been really busy. It's hard to sometimes to keep your mind and your focus on what's really important, and you're just caught up with all the things you have to do. And David says, "Preserve me, Lord. Keep my heart and mind on you throughout the day. Preserve my way. All the dangers the Lord protects us from and keeps us from. And God wants to preserve us from those. Sometimes he can't, though, because we don't ask. Other times I think he does, just in his love for us. All the things that would have happened, but God just preserves us and takes care of us. And he says, in thee do I put my trust. So he knows that the Lord's the only one that can really do a good job of that. And this is not to say that no bad or harm ever comes, but the Lord's there. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And, you know, God doesn't promise it'll be easy, like Pastor was saying this morning. But we know that we can commit ourselves to him, trusting that he'll watch out for us and preserve us. There's also the kind of preserves that I like. This kind of jam called fig jam, fig jelly. We make it at home. We usually get the figs from our grandparents down south and our relatives. And, you know, it just makes really good jam. Everybody in our house likes it. You want to open the jar and put it back in the fridge a good ways so no one else finds it. You know, the good preserves, because they were well kept. And those are because of the labor and the effort someone put into that, it's a blessing to the people coming after it. And the Lord wants to preserve in us, he says, like the right spirit, a sweet spirit, the right kind of heart and attitude. So when we go about our day, we're a blessing to someone else and, you know, not something that's not a blessing, a honey and not vinegar. So he says, preserve me. And the Lord's the one that does that. And also, if you look down in verse 4, this is kind of, I think, talking about the same thing. He says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. And he talks about here that he's going to avoid certain things, these other gods he talks about, these idols. And I remember the last verse in 1 John, it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And I think that's more important in America, especially in, you know, this circle, I don't think we're having temptations with worshiping an idol like a Buddha or some other things. Those are the big out there, no thank you, no attraction whatsoever. I'm the Lord's, right? But John says that there. He says, keep yourself from idols. Paul says in Colossians, he talks about setting your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And in other places, it talks about the same thing of having our affection set on things above. And because God says who we yield our members to obey, that's whose servant we really are. And so we have to examine our lives and be careful of that nothing else is taking that place in our heart that the Lord is supposed to have. David says, in thee do I put my trust. And so God, that's another thing the Lord preserves us from. Then down in verse number 5, if you would look, it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. And here, another thing he says about the Lord, not only the Lord preserves him, someone that trusts in him, but he says here, the Lord's my portion. And I don't say that I fully understand this. I wish I grasped it more. But that God is really the portion of his saints. It's really what they're going to have. Heaven, when we get there, we read in Revelation that it's really going to be about the Lamb. Amen. It's going to be about the Father. It's going to be about the throne. I'm sure we'll recognize some people there. We'll see them. All the benefits that go with that. But he talks here about an inheritance. Now, an inheritance is what, you know, the Father gives, hopefully, to his children if there's anything left, whatever they get. And, you know, the prodigal son said, give me the portion of my goods that befalleth me. Give me those things. Well, it's not necessarily that, there's the difference between a reward for labor, something earned, and an inheritance in this sense that I believe is talking about. I believe this is the kind of inheritance that God gives because we're one of his. Heaven comes with salvation. It comes with Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll see in John 14, chapter 3, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. But I think sometimes if we stop there, He says, if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. And I think the emphasis is there. Jesus wants us with him. He's purchased us. He's bought us. Amen. He loves us so much. And that's the relationship that's supposed to be there. And we get heaven too, you know, to be with the Lord. So it says the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he says to an inheritance. So in Peter, he's writing to suffering people. And he gives them this. He says, God has preserved you to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And he goes on, and he shows that this wonderful inheritance, Jesus Christ, he's reserved it for us. No one's going to take it. It's a little different than our rewards in what we're talking about here. But it's undefiled. It's not, the things that, if we think of the treasures we lay up in heaven, it's not going to rust, and things like that are going to take hold of it. And so he says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. The Lord's the one that I'm going to inherit. The Lord's, he's my part, a portion. If you think of each person, at a meal, they get a portion. I think that's what it's talking about, that kind of portion, the allotment. And it says, God's my portion. I think of the Levites. When God divided the land, right? He said that their portion's going to be the Lord. They get me. That always interested me. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. As I think about people that in the Bible who made the Lord their portion, I think of Job. And you really see that he wasn't in it for all that God gave him. Though he loved those things, God ended up blessing him. I believe that's God's plan, that he does bless his children who follow him, his ways. He says, I promise blessing, I promise good, walk in my ways. But God takes everything from Job, but it showed that Job, really, the Lord was his portion. The Lord was who he was serving. The Lord was who he had. And God could take everything else, and Job still had his portion. He still had everything that God had promised. He had God himself. I also, if you remember Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of Martha. Jesus goes to their house, and Martha's busy serving. Nothing wrong with that, but Jesus was at the house that day. And Jesus wants to point out to her, don't miss me. I want to be your portion. But she seems to, I'm not here to dog Mary about that. But anyways, God does say, but God said, when Mary points out Martha, all the names there. So Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus says, she chose the better part. Amen. The better portion, if you could say. She got the good thing here. She realized that this is an opportunity, maybe once of a lifetime. It seems that Jesus did maybe frequent their house several times, but this is the Son of God, and she just chose me as her portion. I'm her part. I think also of the rich ruler, or the rich young man. I'm not sure if he was a ruler. We always add that. But as he came to the Lord, he says, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? And you know the story. Jesus goes with him and basically shows him that he's not good. He's lived a moral life, possibly, but he doesn't love God. And he walks away very sorrowful, it says, because he had exceeding great possessions. He was rich. And he had made those possessions his portion. If you look at, it's right where we are, chapter 17, verse 4. God talks about those who have their portion in this life. And that's pretty much all they have. And it says, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life. And that's as far as they had to look. And this man left the Lord, who wants to be everything to his people, and went away sorrowful because the Lord wasn't really enough. And I think sometimes in our theology, the Lord's enough for us. But in the day-to-day hustle and bustle, the Lord's not, he's not enough for us. Not enough to keep our hearts satisfied. Not enough just because our minds aren't stayed on him like they should be. And he wants to be everything to his people, their portion. Now, our brother Wilson that I mentioned earlier, his father-in-law owned a tent and awning factory. And one night, I guess it's a lot of combustibles in there. It goes up in flames. Not sure how it got started, but the whole thing ends up burning to the ground. And what's worse yet, his father-in-law didn't have insurance. And at the time, Walter Wilson's working for him, and they're watching this thing burn to the ground. And he says, well, you've lost everything. And his father-in-law says, no, I didn't lose it. It was the Lord's. If he wants to burn it all up, that's fine.
Amen.
He says, okay. Amen. So what's interesting is the next night, he says, his father-in-law is out leading in the street meetings. They were holding street meetings there, preaching the gospel on the corner, singing. And he was out there singing and preaching and all those things. And the newspaper picked up on it. And noticing this man, it was a huge factory in the city. They say, here's a man who lost everything, but whose portion is God. Who found everything in God. And that's the kind of heart I want to have. That God can take it, God can give it, but my portion's God. And sometimes I think God brings trials into our life, whatever they be. If you remember that parable where the lost sheep, and the shepherd goes out of this sheep, and it's not, I don't want to take the parable to mean something it doesn't mean, but when the shepherd brings that sheep home, or take any, he puts it on his shoulder, the parable says, puts it on his shoulders, goes back rejoicing. And I've heard that in the old days, as they would have their sheepfold there, they'd watch over, this one man can only keep in so many sheep. And it was imperative that the sheep would know the shepherd's voice, follow him, stay close when he called. But now and then you get those ones that would wander, right? They'd go out there, they'd want to eat the plants that weren't supposed to be eaten. They'd be too far away from his protection, too far away from his care. And so the shepherd, as I have been told, would at times, if needed, if it got too bad, break the leg of one of the small lambs. Not in a way that would harm it in a long run, but it would heal. But for that purpose, that sheep would have to now depend on the shepherd. Couldn't just walk around how it used to. The shepherd would have to put it in the place where it could eat, would have to take it to the water, would have to carry it around its shoulders. And I think God sometimes, he allows these hard things in our life because he's trying to put us on our shoulders. We're too far out there. The Lord's not really our portion. We kind of miss his close voice, and he wants us near his heart, wants us near him. And so David says, the Lord's my portion. He's my preserver. He keeps me from all manner of evil. He preserves me so I'm useful and good for the Lord as well and a blessing to others. But he's also my portion. He's what I have in this life. And then there's a lot here. But let's look briefly at verse 6 and then we'll go to verse 11. It says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now these lines, David's almost talking like in surveyor terms or things like that. He's talking almost about coordinates. But the idea here is that God, the one he's talking about, is orchestrating boundaries in his life that are of a divine nature, that are beyond his control, in a sense, making him king over Israel. That wasn't really his doing. That was God's anointing. So many things in David's life, even some of the victories, they were God's doing. And if you think of some lines, if you would, in our lives, it may be unchangeables, things that we're born into, if you would. Maybe it's the family you're in. Maybe it's different things about you that you say, I don't really care for this. But David says, these lines, these things that you've done in my life, they have fallen unto me in pleasant places. And carrying it with it, this idea that, God, you've done things well in my life. I'm satisfied with the way you've orchestrated my life. I'm satisfied with where you've put me. I'm satisfied with the things, how you've made me, what size you've made me, how tall you've made me, what language I speak. I'm satisfied with that. Maybe so many things that it's easy to become dissatisfied with. But if it says, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places, I have a goodly heritage. And he goes on to talk about how the Lord gives him counsel. But let's skip this and go to verse 11. And this is the last verse, so here we go. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't know about you, but I read that and go, wow, that's pretty amazing. Like, sometimes you just read the Bible and you say, Lord, I would like to really experience that more. And I think the Lord wants us to really experience that. And he says, that's my sister Laura's favorite verse, life verse, I do believe. But that will show me the path of life. And if you look at verse 8, he says, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. And God is talking about his direction, his path of life. And verse 8, he says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. So God is guiding us in the path of life. But he also says, he also gives us common sense. My reins instruct me as well, a mind to think. But this path of life, he says, I've set the Lord before me. That's my mark of where I'm going. But because he's at my right hand, I'll not be moved. Aren't you glad the Lord said he's the author and finisher of our faith, but he's also with us. And so he knows. It's like the other day I was riding my bike on the trail. And sometimes I talk to myself as if someone else was there almost. I'm thinking, okay, around this next bend, it's 2 miles to this trail. Make it there, almost like if someone was with me. Yeah, this is pretty easy. There's a cross-cut road here, just talking to myself. But that's kind of like how it is with the Lord. And he's given us his word so that we could know many of the things, be prepared for them at least. And because he knows what's coming. He knoweth the way that I take. And it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God really wants to order our steps. Lead us to the right person at the right time. You know, several people are late that the Lord led me to give a tract to. Just at the right time, I met somebody, and they said, oh, I've been thinking about that. Or, hey, I read that tract, and that was really good. I needed that. Or just things that you're like, God wants to order our steps so that we're profitable and fruitful. And so, as we follow his ways, talking about because he's at our right hand, I should not be moved. He says, that will show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And this joy comes from the presence of the Lord. This isn't something that we have to make. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And you remember in John 14, Jesus said, to those who keep his commands, the Father and the Son dwell with them in a special union in which they manifest themselves in a conscious way through the Holy Spirit in their lives, that the fruit is a knowledge of God, an awareness of God in your life, and abundant joy and peace and other things it promises. The fruit of the Spirit is those things. And that's God's gift to those that obey, as he spoke of. And it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. God wants to make that a reality in our heart so that others... there's so many things in this world. I'd say that a truly joyful person is not the norm, if you would. Because there's not, you say, what you're happy about? There's not that many things. But a true joy-filled Christian, it really does give an opportunity to witness to the Lord. And he says, that maketh me full of joy with thy countenance. When the apostles quoted that in Acts 2:28. And so it's very, when you know, being around certain people will kind of pick you up now and then. Just because of their personality or being with them or... you just really enjoy your time. And that's the idea with the Lord. In his presence, spending time with him, I look at his face and, you know, in that quiet time and just even looking up, an unexpected blessing or just so many things throughout the day, a verse comes to mind, like, oh, thank you, Lord. Just knowing that God's there, though I don't always sense it and realize it. But when his presence seems to show himself, when he seems to show himself to me, it fills me with joy. And encourages me. And that's the type of presence the Lord, more and more, to understand that God's presence is always with us, we'd be fuller and fuller of his joy. And he says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I guess that I don't have much to comment on that one. But you see, that's what God's prepared. He says, I prepared the kingdom. He says, how much more shall your Father... how much for is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? And the God, we have not begun to comprehend how much he loves us and his care for his children. And his just this psalm, I hope we've seen a little bit about the Lord and just as wonderful how he takes care of us. And we get up tomorrow saying, Lord, preserve me today. I want you to be able to use me, not just in the morning after my devotions, or not just in the evening when I have my devotions or whenever, but all throughout the day. Keep my heart, keep my mind, preserve me. Remind me that you're my portion, not the things of this life. Don't let me get wrapped around all the things I have to do and the necessities that are good, but remind me that you're my portion. And you're really, when it's all said and done, I have you. And if you take everything, I have you. You're my portion. And as we obey, he'll begin to make verse 11 more precious to us. He'll begin to guide us in the paths of life. His presence will become realer to us, filling us with joy. And the end, he says, just as he's promised, there's pleasures forevermore. And he knows all about that. So, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray we may remember it. And though, Lord, just forgetting the messenger, may we remember your message. And just tomorrow, wake up thinking of you, think of you tonight, trusting you to preserve our way and guide us and really be able to commune with you. And Lord, you said that'll keep our hearts full of joy as we do that. Thank you for your grace tonight to preach. Thank you for your word that we had to preach about and you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.